Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa, weird and ethereal and stuff. Hey, welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale K. From Spook Show, of course, and from Eerie House Radio and TV, which is going on right now. The link's a million miles long, so just go to the Facebook page. There's a link to go and watch Eerie House TV. But for now, you're stuck listening to me, and unfortunately, only me at the moment. My my guest is missing. Gar the Ghoul. He's going to join us a little later on, you know, to discuss our topic today. Horrors for the holidays. I mean, there's just a lot of holiday movies, not just, you know, Christmas and New Year's. I mean, every holiday has got some kind of horror or science fiction movie attached to it. So we'll be exploring those throughout the day, throughout the show anyway. Been quite a day, especially if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, which I am rapidly becoming not. There's a horror story all in itself, 0-11. But I digress. It is the holiday. Can you believe Thanksgiving is right around the corner? I mean, it's Thursday. Is your turkey unfrozen? Are you ready for your holiday meal? You better get ready, because time's a-wasting. Got the bird on power thaw right now, getting all ready for Thursday. And we are giving you the bird here on Eerie House Radio as we discuss these turkeys, which are the holiday movies. Just looking at some of these, we might as well start with the holiday at hand, Thanksgiving. There's just a horrible movie called Thanksgiving. Yes, Thanksgiving. And these college kids are on their way home from Thanksgiving break, and they run afoul of a homicidal turkey that wants them dead. And you can see a picture of him on the little ad for the radio show today. There he is, the Thanksgiving bird. But there's others, too, that are kind of Thanksgiving-oriented. For instance, Thanksgiving, thanks with an X instead of KS. And it's the woods around Trenton Riverbend Campground hold many secrets. The rusted cars and abandoned campsites tell stories of those who trespassed onto the campground and never came out. One of the actors convinces his friend to join his new filmmaking friend and his crew on the set of a latest horror film. No one suspects the true horror awaits them. All right, that's from 2006. Thanksgiving with an X. Home Sweet Home in 1981. There's another Thanksgiving turkey, if ever I saw one. I mean, these movies are stinking bad. Then there's Blood Freak. There's a turkey-headed muscle man and weed and marijuana and other good stuff. Got to see Blood Freak. That's a cult film. We have someone joining us from Northeast Ohio, it looks like, or maybe Northwest Ohio. Hello, and welcome to Eerie House Radio.
Spooky Dale.
Oh,
Professor Feather
hoy.
Here.
Hoy.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Happy horror days.
Indeed it is. And I'll tell you, some of these movies are pretty bad.
Some of them? I haven't seen a holiday horror movie that was good. Well, and I take that back. The Nightmare Before Christmas, that's a pretty good
yes.
movie.
That's probably the best of the bunch.
This is true. This is true.
when you think of all the other ones, and when Garth Ghoul wanted to do this show with me, and I'm going to have to tease him mercilessly about his absence. we were discussing how, you know, like these movie makers kind of just, all right, we're out of ideas, let's do a holiday one.
yeah, and, you know, capitalize on the time, you know, bring them out around that holiday. I mean, you know, hey, it's all about the money, right?
And there's really not a whole lot that horror hosts can use if you're trying to do your best not to abuse copyright. I mean, you got Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Everybody seems to have done that one at one time or another.
Yeah, we haven't yet. we will, though. Silent Night, Bloody Night, or one of those, Silent Night, Deadly Night, one of those two, aren't those? One of those?
Silent Night, Deadly Night, I believe, is also PD.
Yeah.
So at least there's a couple. And I think there's, what is it, Santa Claus versus the Devil out of Mexico?
Yes, yes.
Is possibly public domain, too. A number of horror hosts have done that one, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is. We haven't done that one either yet. We will. But, yeah, there's some pretty bad movies out there. We mentioned, you know, Silent Night, Bloody Night, and Silent Night, Deadly Night. Those are both winners.
No, and it's fun to do holiday horror host shows. You know what I mean? It's fun to decorate the sets. It's fun to do, you know, spoofs maybe on different holiday things. And wait, can you hold on a minute? I'm a little sore at Garth Ghoul. I'm going to try to call his number now. You know, I got these expanded features now. I can do an hour-long show, and there's other features, including dial out. So let's try to call him right now.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Oh, well, that's not going to work. there's, you know, Christmas is coming around the corner. And there's a couple Christmas horror movies besides the ones the horror hosts use. Black Christmas from 75. You remember that one with Margot Kidder?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Christmas Evil from 1980.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. the early Black Christmas, that's got to be one of the earliest ones, too, doesn't it? For true horror.
According to Buried.com, they've got Silent Night, Bloody Night as the first one from 73, at least in their list, okay?
Right.
And Black Christmas, 75. Night Train Murder, 75.
Okay.
Then Christmas Evil and To All a Good Night. Both came out in 1980.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And then
there's
another... That was Silent Night, Bloody Night. Silent Night, Deadly Night is from 84.
84, I think. Yeah.
I knew it was pretty. You know what's another good 84 movie that's very Christmas-oriented? This one's a treat and not as painful to watch is Gremlins. Remember Gremlins took place on Christmas?
Well, that's true, yeah. Oh, that's a good movie, too.
there's a couple of good movies in there. Yeah. Chopping Mall.
2 out of 20. But yeah, and you're talking about, you know, I've seen several horror hosts, you know, do their holiday specials, and they're always good. I like them. I like to watch them. But it, like you said, it's too bad that we don't, you know, being the poor souls that we are, we can't afford any really good movies or most of these movies.
No.
But that's okay. Make do with what we got.
Looks like Christmas was done the most, apparently, and I was not aware of this. There were several sequels to Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh, really?
Yep, now and a chilling movie called Elves. That one came out in 89.
Mm-hmm. I kind of remember that. I don't remember that one very well. Yeah, you got
that. There's Santa Claus, you know, like Claus. With...
Yes, that's a good one. There's a good one. There are a couple of Jack Frost movies. Those
were good.
I guess, those weren't too bad. First one, the second one was okay. But yeah,
Nutcracker, An American Nightmare, 2001. Ooh, just the sound of that sounds painful.
Have you seen Krampus?
I have not, and I've heard mixed reviews. Some people hated it, and some people really, really enjoyed it.
Yes, I haven't seen it yet myself either, so I was kind of curious if you'd seen it.
No, I kind of want to kind of settle the score in my own mind because I've gotten such mixed reviews from people on it.
Yeah, same for me. I've heard back and forth. So, but you know, opinions are like other body parts on people.
That's right.
That's one of the newer ones to come out.
Oops, sorry. A little mood music there.
A little mood there.
There we go. We don't want it too loud and prevailing over our dulcet bell-like tones. And speaking of bells ringing, I hear a ringy-dingy at the Erie House front door right now. Is that you, Gar?
It is I, Gar the Ghoul. And I'm 5 steps away from my ringy-dingy.
Yes, you are. And you're 9 minutes late. I'm docking you.
I am. You would not believe. I was completely asleep. I had a whirlwind day, and I went to sleep, and I've been out for hours. It was like a vampire on a day pass.
Do you know Professor Feather from Tar and Feather's Psycho Cinema?
I do not. I found my bell.
He's here in the studio with us.
Well, hello, sir.
Good day to you. Good evening. Good night.
All right. Blair to you from I, Gar the Ghoul. What am I? I'm waking up. I am an internet horror movie host from Gainesville, Florida. That's what I am.
Gainesville.
Gainesville, yeah.
The home of Harry Cruz.
Yeah, they have a saying here, go Gators, and my question is, go where? I don't know. They're doing something.
To the golf course. And
something,
yeah. Golfers. There you go.
Go where? Anyway.
All right, well, this was your idea, the holiday movies, all right? We kind of ran the Christmas gamut. But tell us a little bit about why.
It was also like My Bloody Valentine, you know? Somebody got the notion at some point to take horror and science fiction and then go, well, we've made our coins. People are interested. We have a trend. We have a genre. Now, what can we do to get more bucks out of these people, get them back into the seats, and let's do it with a holiday theme? So, you know, you got all
they
kinds
give us
of
Thanksgiving.
Thanks. I mentioned that last night on my little broadcast there. And the zombie turkeys or something, some turkeys that have bloodlust or something. I don't know. Marketing. Marketing. Let's give a hand to these guys that are filling those seats in theaters. Well, at one point in time.
Yeah. No, I don't know if you know this, Professor, but Gar does a live show. He does his show live on the internet.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah,
4 hours.
I'm
a glutton for punishment on it.
When do you do it?
Every Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm still waking up. I can barely speak.
Every Saturday.
Every Saturday from 8 until around midnight or sometimes past midnight. The deal is I'm not promoting. I'm not selling anything. I don't have a sponsor except one I made up. Sangmart, makers of Kool-Aid. Our beverage. We have a quality beverage. I'm not selling anything, so I have to fill the time because I come in just like the old horror movie host of the past, you know, on local TV. Local area television did. I come in and break up the movie so people can go get a quality beverage or a salad or a sandwich or get rid of a quality beverage. And so I pop in and I tell jokes and tab dance and I will put on Spike Jones and fake that I know how to play a ukulele or something like that, whatever, you know. And, you know, just to fill the time. And then back to the film.
And then where do you show this?
This is it's on a website called iVlog, iVlog.com. But my strongest presence in the world is probably on the old Facebook thing there, on the interwebs, the intertubes, whatever they're called. I have a group.
Fallopian
What's the
tubes.
Group called? Horrible Horrors, Starring God of the Ghoul. That's the group. Yeah, that's it. Okay. And there's like 600 people on there that signed up because they enjoy whatever I do. I've never met these people.
Does
but
your show go live on Facebook?
It does not, no. I fly under the radar because some of this stuff is not public domain.
I'm sorry, but it's too late. Santa's going to have to kill you.
Oh, Santa, at it again. You go to Mars, you mess with the devil, and now you're going to kill me. Well, all right.
Poor Santa. What would be the most unusual holiday film that you've seen? Like, you know, there's Christmas, there's New Year's, they're pretty well known. But what would you say is the most unusual holiday movie?
Oh, tied up with horror.
Yes.
I never considered Santa Claus, and this is Christmas, and there's many more, but the one that rings in my head is a Mexican film from, I think I mentioned it to you yesterday, 1959,
yeah.
Santa Claus versus Satan. And the devil sends a devil, a smaller devil, a minion, called Pitch, after Santa Claus to thwart Santa Claus and to instill bedeviltry into small children.
Oh, cool.
And it goes on and on and on. It's horrible stuff. One of the scenes in there, the devil touches the doorknob and makes it red hot so that when Santa touches it, he's going to get, you know, fourth-degree burns or something. I just really, one of them, the devil moved a chimney, so when Santa got in it, he didn't go anywhere. I mean, just
okay.
Really bizarre stuff. Really, really unusual. Messing with the morality of young children, you know?
Yeah. How about you, Professor? What is the oddest holiday you've ever seen linked with a horror film?
That's a good question. I don't know. I thought my Bloody Valentine was pretty weird for a holiday, you know, kind of holiday movie. most of them. That's probably.
I mean, they've had everything. There's one about Cinco de Mayo, and it's called Cinco de Mayo, and.
Curiously called.
That's pretty much it. That's from 2013. The Wicker Man is supposed to be centered around a May Day festival.
Ah. Yeah, I'm thinking there's one about an evil snowman. Is there?
Yeah, Jack Frost.
Jack Frost, right. And it's like, wait, a snowman? They bedevil anything. You know, if you get... Again, marketing. Applause. You know, I mean,
Oh, here's one listed. Arbor Day, The Happening from 2008. Gotta have
one
Arbor
I've never
Day
seen.
Horror film.
The trees are attacking.
The trees.
Hide your children. Protect your women.
You know, trees are pretty scary for me. I remember seeing on Goulardi. He had From Hell It Came, you know, with the walking tree Tabanga.
Yeah.
That scared the crap out of me. And also the trees from Wizard of Oz. I found them
particularly
frightening.
Or Or, and this really reaching.
What do you think you're doing?
Yeah. The trees from H.R. Puffin stuff that the witch had.
Oh.
She had some really scary trees. They did some stuff back then.
That whole show was like a drug trip, no?
There were so many people that said it alluded to, and yet the makers that was like, no, we're just trying to engage the kiddies. And it was like, why? Maybe it was like, again, I don't know how I always end up on that, the 1966 Batman program where it was written to engage adults as well as children. I don't know if H.R. Puffin said it was that way, but it could have been. It could have been somebody going, hey, it's time to get my altered state of consciousness going because H.R. Puffin stuff is on.
Come on, Puffin stuff? Come on.
Yeah, puff some stuff. What's going on?
Puff the magic dragon.
That one. Oh, you could also, if you want to go that way, you could also talk about Lizville.
Liz. Yeah, well, there you go. I never put two and seven together on that, but yeah. It's
How about
a hat.
Easter Bunny,
no, it's
Kill,
not.
Kill. Anybody ever see that one? Easter Bunny, Kill, Kill?
Kill, Kill. Yeah. There are. There. Oh, wow. Yeah.
We're spiraling downward.
We are, and it does, and we're sitting here, at least I am, and it brings nothing but laughter and joy because they are so funny, because we can understand from our perspective what they were trying to do, and what happens is these films that are just, wow. Entertainment, but more of a comedic tilt or lilt, I guess.
How about St. Patrick's Day? You got Leprechaun.
Plus the movie's Leprechaun. Growing up, you saw this little guy, and he was like, I've got to be a pipe of gold. I'm going, that was it, happy guy. He had a pipe, he had gold, he was set. And then all of a sudden, you took my gold. I'm going to come and rip your guts out. It's like, what's going on?
And you got your Mother's Day movies.
Mother's Day, yeah. I have an axe to grind with you, Mammy. Like, what's going on?
I don't know. Would you call, it's sort of more of a thriller, but Mommy Dearest is kind of a horror film.
That's almost child abuse, isn't it? Not really.
Yeah.
I wonder if that is indeed played on Mother's Day. I don't know if anyone would say, Mother's Day's coming up. Let's blow the dust off this corker and put it out there.
Sure, we'll put it back to back with Psycho.
Yeah, there you go. We're talking entertainment now, blah, blah.
Happy Mother's Day.
That's right. Oh, where's my punch? I got one somewhere. There it is. I knew I had one somewhere. Gotta have
one. And then
punch.
There's Mother's Day Massacre from 2007.
Yeah. One of the things, the farthest back that I ran across was that the Santa Claus versus the Devil. Or Satan, or whatever that was. There are a few different names to it. And that was the furthest back, and that was like 59. But a lot of these, I think, and again, that was Mexico, so it's kind of an import. But how many of them would be probably from the U.S. makers of film, I guess. These probably started kicking out in the 80s. That's when I started to notice, a balloon of these holiday-themed horror films would be after the.
I think you're right. You got maybe one out of the 50s, the one you mentioned. You got Santa Claus and the Martians in the 60s, but then
60s, right?
Maybe a couple in the 70s, and then bang, in the 80s, it blew up. Absolutely.
I think that's because of the advent of VHS.
Yes.
That it would,
being able to port those, you know, show them in the theater for a short time and then make a lot of money as VHS rentals and sales.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I remember.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
brought
yeah.
back such memories of going to the video stores and finding those and getting them for holiday viewing. Absolutely.
People are going to paint us old talking about media that doesn't exist anymore.
That's because we are old.
Wait, what?
What?
Well, I was listening
I'm just
to my
ageless. Wait a minute, ageless. We are ageless.
That's right.
Ageless.
Well, I like to say I'm nostalgic, and they go, get out of the way, you old boy. All right.
So,
well,
Gar,
folks,
have you seen Krampus?
I think I have.
I'm going to use that line. Wait a minute.
I want to say yes.
Are you sorry you saw Krampus?
I saw a film where there was an evil Santa Claus played by an ex-wrestler. That wasn't Krampus.
No.
Does Krampus look like his face is kind of really gray and dark and he has bunny ears, or is that something else?
I think that's
maybe
nice.
I haven't seen Krampus. I haven't.
Krampus is pretty new. It just came out like last year, I think.
Then, no.
Yeah, a year or two
I'm not really,
ago.
I am unfortunately not, and I should be, more of an aficionado of all horror genre, but I really do cut it off from 1930, 1965, and only because after 1965, they would go to the butcher shop and just throw intestines and stuff on the screen so people go, ooh, that's gross, and then say it's horror, and it wasn't. It's like...
Well, yes, we could get into a whole discussion about what horror is.
Yes, and so I tend to like the Get Smart version of horror where you get shot but there's no blood. You don't necessarily need 10 gallons of red paint to make your point, you know.
Yeah. Oh, no, you could do much more with shadow play and other things as well. New extended format of doing an hour show, I got to pay the bills. So we'll be back right after this.
Howdy, folks. You like blood, violence, freaks of nature? Well, then come on down to Captain Spaulding's Museum of Monsters and Madmen. Yeah, see the alligator boy. Ride my famous murder ride. Most of all, don't forget to take home some of my tasty fried chicken. Ha-ha! It just tastes so damn good.
Oh, God. Now I feel all
tastes
Christmas-y
like chicken.
Inside.
All right.
Now
sure.
I feel all Christmassy inside.
It's about that time. I am trying.
Yeah, do you find the holidays are times you get more opportunities to watch some of the horror films that you like?
I have a collection of DVDs, and sometimes I need to put on the brakes and go, you know, I really ought to look at these things to refresh my memory and or review once. Someone mentioned newer films or the Krampus thing that was new, and I had to admit that I don't watch the newer. The one that the one that I've seen that struck me as total horror terror, sort of, was a film called The Fallen with John Goodman and...
Denzel Washington.
Okay. Now, there you had... They never showed the evil of what it was because it had no substance. But you had this negative spirit thing jumping in and out of people, and wow, did they hit the mark on that? Again, it's not necessarily holiday centric, but whoa, they did that. That was one for me that I do have that, but and that was still I think it was in the 2000s somewhere between 2000 and now as a release. I don't remember
It was, and it's one of those more recent movies that I agree was very, very well done. It was a different kind of a horror.
And I think it was a sleeper film. It never went anywhere. Nobody picked up on it. You should see this film! Unless you talk to me, and then I'm saying, you should see this film! Right?
It was a very good film, yes.
Yeah. They just recently done this. Again, unfortunately, it's not necessarily holiday-themed, but a television station. I can't remember. I don't know if it's ABC, NBC, or CBS, but someone has picked up and has got going the Exorcist series on TV.
Oh, wonderful.
You haven't... I strongly... what's that word? Condone? Not that. It's not it. Recommend. There's that word. That film, that TV series, The Exorcist, the girl from the 70s film has grown up, has children of herself, and then, boom, one of them is possessed by the same sneaky thing that possessed her back in 74. So it's a big, huge circle, and it's done very well. It's got the grit and feel and taste of that film back in the 70s. It's really good.
Gotta love The Exorcist. That's why
one of the best horror films made. The Exorcist.
What's that?
Yeah.
How about 4th of July horror movies? Anybody see Uncle Sam? That came out in the late 90s.
Nope.
I want to say I've at least seen the trailer. That's really sad. I should have more of a strong grip on this. I want to look over this thing. Where are you?
No.
On the Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Do you know who the there was a group of people that kept kicking out these grade of films. Even Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, I believe, is was it made in a country other than the United States? I want to say it was.
I don't know. I don't think
it was
so
made
because
in Mexico.
It doesn't appear to be
Mexico. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh wow.
Was it made in Mexico?
I want to say it was, and so was the other film that I was talking about.
Versus the Devil.
Claus, the Devil thing.
Yeah, that's Mexican too. Yeah,
and I wanted to see if I could find. I'm looking on the old internetmoviedatabase.com thing to see where and who this company was. They did quite a bit of curious. movies that were child-related, because both of those were child-related.
Yeah, didn't they do another one like called Puss in Boots or something?
There's one called Little Red Riding Hood versus the Monsters.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
It's horrible. I mean, just all. I think Frankenstein was in it, a Wolfman was in it, just all kinds of. They got everybody in there, and they went against these little children. And I played it once, and people moaned about it, but which means I'll definitely be playing it again.
of course.
I'm trying to find. Seriously? Was Jamie Farr in that? Let's see. Pia Zadora was in it, but I thought there was someone else other than
that. Was.
You know, you're talking about, speaking of her, what about the you know, Halloween?
Oh, good God, yes.
Yeah.
That
one of the best horror movies ever made.
It was.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to just focus on number one, the first Halloween. I didn't.
Yeah.
I don't have recollections of the others, and they're probably up to about 14, right?
Well, the first and the second one really are the second one is actually a continuation of the first.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the first movies I've ever seen.
And it's really good. And then Halloween 3, which is totally off topic, which actually, it's actually not a bad movie in itself, although it doesn't, you know, quite go follow the Halloween tradition of the first two movies, which they picked back up later.
Yeah, three
was
about
there's a series of, you know, of you know, holiday movies right there.
Yeah.
And Dale, to what we were saying about good ones.
Good ones.
Yeah. Halloween really saved horror movies for me. You know what I mean? Again, there was this period where I felt like, you know, being a fan of horror and science fiction, growing up in the 60s and 70s, you're kind of a nerd. You're an outsider. You know what I mean? You're not hanging around with all the cool kids.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? It wasn't cool to be a nerd or into science fiction until films like 2001, Planet of the Apes did it for science fiction, but I think Halloween really resurrected horror. You started getting tons and tons of horror films after Halloween.
You find that the film industry, as well as TV industry, in creating content, is cyclical. Maybe it's a large circle, maybe it's a small circle, but it moves through a high point, and then you see a decline, and then something else will be in theaters for a while, and then the horror genre and science fiction will reemerge and come again. Like last night, I played Abbott and Costello Meet Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. When we got to the point of Abbott and Costello meeting monsters in a film, we were on the downslide of horror and the increase for science fiction.
I know there's no such a person as Dracula. You know there's no such a person as Dracula.
But does Dracula know it?
Does Dracula know it? Hey, Abbott! you see that trend. And I'm just glad that there is an engine that is restoking and resurfacing.
Whoa,
horror
that
science
sounds
fiction.
Dirty.
Restoking, like a fire?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you restoking over there?
Yeah, well, you know, you got the cast iron pot-bellied oven thing here, and every once in a while I take my stoker and I stoke them fires.
Stoke them fires.
Stoke
no, besides
them
Uncle
fires.
Sam, besides Uncle Sam, there was a few more 4th of July horror films or sci-fi. What about Independence Day? Now, there's a quality film.
Oh, and yeah, and that one you want to almost salute when you say it. That was patriotism versus aliens. but it was United States centrist, I think. Even though it was like the whole world was supposed to come together, I think you know the main.
But it's always the U.S. leading the way.
Right.
I know what you did last summer.
All the summer films. Yeah, well, even
that's a
in a way,
the
summer
July.
Films. Yeah, you could definitely toss those in. The summer kind of being an all inclusive holiday, and there's loads of those. You know, let's go to the camp where we go and have fun. Oh, there's a suicidal murderer in the woods. You know, and,
Yep. Well, Jaws was also released in the summer and also takes place on the 4th of July, or a portion of it takes place on the 4th of July.
That's true, yeah.
And that's a weird one right there, because when you think of monsters and you think of horror, my mind doesn't go to Jaws, but when I think about Jaws, it's like, it kind of is horror. Horror in the water, which would... be a lend back or not to good old the creature from the Black Lagoon type. There's something in the water.
Yeah.
why can I not find what I'm looking for here? I'm looking through my list of films that I have.
Horror Party Beach.
There you go. I don't think Annette Funicello was in that one. Was she?
Hey, at least they had some nice-looking girls in bikinis dancing, that made it for me.
I said that Annette Funicello wouldn't have been in that film. Curiously, there's a Vincent Price vehicle called Dr. Goldfoot and the Bikini Machine.
Yes.
In which Annette Funicello shows up in, Stocks. She's in Stocks. You know, the hands are in front, the head's in the wood thing there. And they pull up her head, and it's like, whoa, that's Annette Funicello. And that was just much. Then they let the head go. She dropped it, and then they moved on. I don't know why she was in that. But
probably that was her way of saying that's the only way they're getting me on this movie.
Yeah, they had to time it. Yeah, there it is. There's two of those. Why can I not find this? William Castle. I don't think William Castle ever did any holiday. He was great with gimmicks. But he missed out on... Did people associate Rosemary's Baby with a holiday? It was released?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was released around Thanksgiving or Christmas, which is really kind of... For that type of film, it was like...
I never considered it any kind of a holiday movie, really.
Right. I was thinking of when it was released. Maybe it would have...
There's one called Memorial Day.
There's one called Memorial Day. Veteran zombies involved in that? What's going on with Memorial Day?
Let's see. According to Barry.com's review, Rachel is haunted by nightmares of the day 3 years ago when her brother mysteriously died while she and a group of friends partied at a lake. This weekend, Rachel and her friends are returning to the same lake to finally put her mind to rest. Or so they think. Little do they know, a faceless killer awaits to spawn a few new nightmares.
Wait a minute. You just described about 30 movies.
Yep. Stars Teresa Fretwell, Marcos Gabriel, the unforgettable Jasmine Trice, and Derek Neves. Whatever.
Well, if Fretman's in it, you know it's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoever Fretman is, I don't know.
And Memorial Valley Massacre from 1988.
I am almost beside myself here. It's got to be.
Oh God, there's two of you.
Yeah. I can't find my copy of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. I don't know where I put it in my computer. I wanted to start it up so I could see the beginning. Because it tells you who did this. It's like Sam Kurtzman or something like that. You know.
We'll take a brief look at the news.
This just in: Santa Claus is dead.
Oh my God! Again?
So sorry to drop that on everybody. I apologize.
But that's
profusely.
Okay. He'll be back in zombie form by the 24th. No problem.
Oh God! They did that on South Park too. I'm sure.
He'll be back fine. No problem, kiddies. Oh wow. Well, that's right. I'm mobile. I can go in the other room. All right.
Tales from the Crypt, didn't they have one of the...
to bring that up, and I'm glad you did. The one with the demented guy dressed up as Santa Claus. What the heck was the title of that one? That was very chilling.
Yes. Yeah, I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, gosh.
I'm trying to think. It starred somebody pretty famous, too.
Yeah.
Joan Collins. Joan Collins?
There was one called Silent Night, Deadly Night. Oh, my gosh. It went up to number 5? Silent Night, Deadly Night. And that would have been... But the one that you're talking about... Yeah, there was like this berserker Santa Claus with an axe.
Yes.
If I recall. And... I remember seeing that. Well, there's also an image in my head of the puppet guy, the crypt keeper, that guy with a Santa hat on. Yeah. So they were they were doing whatever they could in order to get things going.
Yeah. That one was a direct adaptation from one of the old Tales from the Crypt comic stories. And that one was pretty darn scary, the dude with the axe and bad teeth.
Yes.
He was somebody. I can't remember his name, but he's been in a few horror films in the 80s.
The guy
and
that
90s.
Played that did that, used the axe? Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. I think he was in Dark... Remember Dark Knight of the Scarecrow?
Yeah.
I'm saying vaguely yes to that one. Yeah, that... Okay, Christmas movies.
That was a good movie, and that's a good... I don't know if you'd associate it with a holiday, but that's certainly a good fall time movie.
It is. There's another one.
And I think it's the same actor that played the Santa Claus. The name of the episode was called And All Through the House.
Okay. Joseph E. Levine, or Levine, was that particular individual put his name on so many, dare I say, crappy films. but they were for kids. But if you watch them today, like I said, they have the Little Red Riding Hood versus the monsters and stuff like that.
Was Levine like a? Did he bring them into the country, or?
I'm not sure if he was, marketing or he was producer. It says Joseph E. Levine presents, and I want to find more information on him. I've got the internet in front of me, but let's see what this guy is. There we go. There's a Joseph E. Levine funeral home. Isn't the internet amazing?
And there should be.
A towering figure in movie making. Oh, that's when he passed away. In 1987. He's American film producer. 497 films he was involved with. He was cranking out stuff. Wow. How many people can say that? 497 films. Whoa.
All classics too, by how well he's remembered.
Okay, all right. Let me see if I have this in a book. I think it was International Pictures was responsible for bringing Godzilla to the United States. I think, and this guy might have had a hand in some of that. They brought that in. Otherwise, we never would have had Asian films if it wasn't for that company. And possibly this guy, because it says here, at the time of his death, involved in 497 movies as producer, distributor, or financier, including Godzilla, King of the Monsters, and Hercules.
Distributor, yeah, that's what I said. That's
right.
And that, I think that's where he came in with the movies you were talking about.
Embassy Pictures is 1956, and that's where we got some real winners, I'm sure. but I'm looking. Wow, it skips right over the – there they are. I'm trying to scan through this quickly. We're live. Yeah, okay. Well, I can't see it. But anyway, yeah, so there are individuals that were just cranked out so much great content, and that guy at least was probably in part, at least two of those were the Santa Claus films that I run each year that people groan and moan about, the Martians and the Devil one. but yeah, and so it has to be understood that even though there are these amazing films that we can find that are holiday-centric, the reason for it is money, 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 money. The marketing folks are really doing their due diligence to separate you from your coins.
As well they should.
Hey, that's capitalism.
Is it? Are we back in that system again?
Yes.
According to others, we've been off. We're moving towards all kinds of different economic and political directions.
Oh, not in the movie business.
Not in the movie business.
Yeah. That's still capitalism.
No.
With
it's
capital
all.
T.
It's all. As someone so eloquently said, butts in seats. Right. That's what we want.
That's right.
But you know, and I've mentioned this many times. There's too much money. It's like sports. There's too much money in it. It's overanalyzed. Making a film is overanalyzed, in my opinion, and it really stifles creativity. This is why I feel part of the reason why we're churning out cheap, cheesy remakes and substandard films when we have the technology to make the most amazing things happen on film.
Yeah, there's a cookie-cutter mentality to some of it, where and it also could be young filmmakers. The 80s were a huge glut of, again, going back to your video stores. If you went to the VHS store, the video store, and went to the horror section, it was filled with all of these things that
it was
that would have been
the biggest
like,
section in the VHS stores.
Direct to video.
Direct to video, yeah.
It never made it into a theater. And you go, oh, wow, look at this. You know, 500 Ways to Die in Your Kitchen. I need to see this. Or whatever the films would be. There were young filmmakers trying to get their bite into the market. Or people were just cranking stuff out and going, we need to get a coin. We need a nickel. We need a nickel, people. Whatever we can get.
With the smaller productions, that's exactly what the first Halloween was. It was done on a very, very low budget. But look at that, with the right music, the right editing, the right acting, they made a very chilling film.
If you can create the environment, if you can create the believability, there's, why can I not think of movie names? There is one film where a man is being tracked down by a demon, and they didn't want to show the monster. The makers of the film said, we're never going to show it. It's going to be an invisible entity. And instead, they came up with this amazing, a huge beast thing with horns.
Oh, that's the one with Dana Andrews. What's that
Dana
one called,
Andrews,
Professor?
Yes.
Night of the Demon, I think it's called.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes. And they were going to run this whole thing, and what it created the environment of tension. You were invested, and you were like, oh, what's going to happen? And you were spooked by it. Wow, right? And then finally, I think the people that were paying the light bill said, we want to see a monster. You brought us in. You got us this far. And the people that were making it were like, no, it's going to ruin our film. But in any way, they did come up with one, and it turned into be an iconic monster thing, even though it had, 5 seconds of airtime or screen time?
That was with the train and the giant beast.
Yeah. So it's all about being able to create that environment on film, create the tension, create the interest, the intrigue.
That's where Hitchcock
that's
was really, really
fun.
Good. That's where Hitchcock was really good. I mean, he didn't need special effects to create. He had very little to create the moods and the fear into the viewer. I mean, the guy was just a master at putting this stuff together.
Well, that comes back to the whole holiday-themed movies. You know, they're all exploitation movies. And for the most part, you know, and this is why I think, you know, they're all so bad, is, you know, they're made with as you said, the bottom line, let's, you know, capitalize on the holidays. And, you know, let's not really care about a good script or, you know, let's just show some blood and some gore and, you know, know, there's a few of, you know, that are the exceptions, but, you know, that seemed to be kind of the trend for the holiday, for most of the holiday movies from the 80s on.
There's one called The Gingerbread Man from 1998.
Oh, God, yes. I remember that
Not
one.
The
Gingerbread Man?
Ginger Dead Man, isn't it?
Well, the one I saw was, let's see, is there another one? I don't see one that says that. There's another one called The Gingerbread Girl, but I don't know if that's horror. Maybe it is. Maybe The Gingerbread Man, some type of demented sociopath, meets love in the oven.
Well, from what year was this?
Girl. What?
What year?
1998.
Oh. Yeah, there's one. There's another one called The Ginger Dead Man. I think that was made in the early 2000s or something. I vaguely remember that one. But
yeah,
it was called Ginger
call
Dead
it, but
Man.
I didn't see it. Yeah,
Ginger
for Halloween, besides the classic 78 Halloween, they got The Dark Knight of the Scarecrow here. The actor's name I was trying to remember is Larry Drake.
Oh, yes, Larry Drake.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think he was the one who also played the demented Santa Claus in the Tales from the Crypt, I think. He looked
well,
like
he was in, yeah, I forget, he was in another one. But I don't think it was another horror movie that was something about a dentist or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Professor, I'm seeing the image for the Ginger Dead Man. 2005. An evil yet adorable gingerbread man comes to life with the soul of a convicted killer. This real-life cookie monster wreaks havoc on a girl who sent the killer to the electric chair.
Hey, honey, I want to take a bite out of you.
Starring Gary Busey. All right. You
oh,
know
really?
It's good. All right. 10 points
well,
right
just,
there.
I never saw it. I just remember seeing the name and kind of chuckling over the name.
Oh, I'm seeing the image, and they actually have the makeup is a cookie, and there's a human face in the center, and it's like, oh, boy. The makeup is very much the Leprechaun series films as far as, oh. Internet Movie Database, The Ginger Dead Man.
I'm
going
to have to go. I'm going to have to hunt that one down.
That one, just the image.
I'd like to see that.
I haven't seen it, but the image is evil never tasted so good.
Now see, why haven't they done like a bar mitzvah horror film? Now,
yeah. Where's the representation, dagnabbit?
That one might have a rating issue.
It might have
monster sex and rock and roll.
Oh, okay, lady, thanks.
One of those might have to get rabbinically supervised before it could be released. We
yes,
don't know.
Right.
There we go. All right. Yeah.
Well, we got about 2 minutes left here before they boot us out the door. I want to thank both of you gentlemen for calling in today to discuss this fine topic.
I'm glad
it's been grand as always.
And last week's schedule will be running over and over and over again on Thanksgiving Day, starting at 6 a.m. All day long, Thanksgiving will run it over and over and over. It's Clink's Cavalcade of Cartoons. I think once Thanksgiving comes, then we can actually show like a Christmas-related thing. So it'll be Jim Clink's Cavalcade of Cartoons featuring Gulliver's Travels and a bunch of other comedy shorts. So check us out. Well,
go ahead.
With a minute to go, you got anything you want to add about our topic today?
Oh, I was stumped on the Thanksgiving thing. So last night, the pre-feature, the only twist I had, we showed Underdog, a two-episode little clip there of Simon Barr Sinister says no to Thanksgiving.
Uh-oh.
Good old Simon went back in time to get rid of Thanksgiving, and Underdog thwarted him.
And I got nothing to add to that.
Nothing to add to that.
All I can say, happy horror days to you people out there.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks for listening live and in the archive. This is Ben, Erie House Radio. We'll see you next Saturday at 6:30 Eastern. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.